in disagreeing with the bankruptcy court and the majority rule of the other circuits, held that the majority rule adhered to more practical considerations and a faithful adherence to the text of the bankruptcy code. The court stated, our interpretation of the bankruptcy code starts where all such inquiries must begin with the language of the statute itself. For where here the statute's language is plain, the sole function of the courts is to enforce it according to its terms. And they basically said that simply holding the vehicle wasn't an act to exercise control. They were simply holding the vehicle. So I'm not sure I agree with their reasoning, but they're above my pay grade, so I don't really worry about it. But holding on to an asset does not constitute exercising control, and such action does not violate 362A3 of the Bankruptcy Code. And that's important for debtors, especially consumer debtors, because oftentimes, as we'll see in most of these cases, the car is their lifeline. So it's been my experience, whenever you see a bankruptcy case with a turnover action on a car, it's typically the person who has not made their car payment because they have other circumstances in their life that don't allow them to make their car payment. You see people not making house payments, but typically they're making their car payments because if their car disappears, they can't get to work. They can't get to work, they can't make money. If they can't make money, they can't do anything. So imagine a situation where you file a Chapter 13 for a debtor and you say to lender, give me back the car, and they say, no, I'm not exercising control over this vehicle. I don't have to give it back because I'm not violating the automatic stay. Now, it may still be subject to turnover, but they don't have to immediately give it back. And you're going to have debtors basically who, after a week or two or three, they're really going to lose interest in getting their car back because they'll have to do something else. All right? So it has some real, real practical implications to consumer bankruptcy lawyers. Now, I haven't seen this issue raised anywhere, and I did not volunteer for this topic. It was assigned to me. You find out until Judge Morris becomes the new judge, I'm the flavor of the month. You know, I'm the new bankruptcy judge, the new kid on the block. So what does the future hold, and why does this have legs, and why is it an interesting topic for you as consumer lawyers? Well, the reason for that is really, really simple. There are cases now that are consolidated on direct appeal to the Seventh Circuit that have all the indications that perhaps they're going to get up to the Supreme Court. All right? And as we know, whenever the Supremes take a look at anything that has to do with bankruptcy, sometimes they get it right, but sometimes they don't get it so right, okay? And so what we have in the Seventh Circuit is we have the City of Chicago. And the City of Chicago basically impounds vehicles to recover on unpaid parking fees and red light revenue. And so what happens is if you get an unpaid parking fee or you get a red light ticket, and you don't pay those tickets, they go and put the boot on your car. And then once they put the boot on your car, they then pick it up and take it somewhere. All right? And debtors who have had their cars impounded for these unpaid parking fees and fines basically have been filing Chapter 13 to recover the vehicles. They've got property of the estate. Creditors got control. Subject to turnover. Give us the car back. Give it back to us immediately. We've got to drive to work. Well, there now are, in at least in the bankruptcy court, at least until very, very recently, the debtors have been universally successful in getting their cars back. This is in the one of the circuits where the majority view holds, and the majority view is, you got to give it back, it violates the automatic stay. All right? But the City of Chicago has a really, really vested interest in these cases. It is one of the opinions, and one of the opinion that's in the materials is the Peak case, not related to my missing cohort here, Mr. Peak. There are three cases that are consolidated on, and the facts in these cases are familiar to thousands of debtors who basically have filed cases in Chicago in order to get their cars back. And the issue is important to the debtors because of their economic interest, but it's also really, really important to the city of Chicago because this funds 7% of their city budget. Can you imagine parking fines, red light tickets fund 7% of Chicago's budget? So in the Peak case, Mr. Peak owned a 2007 Lincoln MKZ, an older car, with approximately 200,000 miles and valued by him at $4,300. There was a lien against it basically of $7,000 that exceeded the value. He basically got several tickets, and in Houston, it's not tickets, it's the toll booth violations. You realize that basically this almost the same thing. And after he got these liabilities, finally his car, and I'm assuming the city's driving around with those little cameras where they read the license plates and they determine that you have unpaid fines, they immobilized it, and they later impounded it. Okay. He worked at an Amazon facility in Joliet, Illinois, 45 miles. He needed the car to drive to and from work, and without his car, he'd been forced basically to pay others to drive him to work.